You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we've got my friend, Kobe Karp, I'm going to give you a promotion, the Starkitect. Kobe has been in business here in South Florida and across the country and across the world, designing some of the best living environments, some of the best buildings, and you know, some gorgeous homes. So, Kobe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you very much for having me here.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Now, Kobe, let's get right to it. You've been in designing projects for quite some time now. There's been an evolution of different things. You got your start doing resorts in the Caribbean. Now you're here in the U.S. doing luxury housing, resorts, all kinds of great stuff. Tell me, what have you seen change over the last few years?
Well, number one, Jim, thank you very much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
My pleasure, Kobe. Yes.
And you know, we are very lucky to be here in South Florida. Mm-hmm. Every year, according to the United States Census, our population grows by about 1%. In the past 10 years, we've grown about 10%. That's according to the United States Census. The main difference is when I came here in the late 80s, the population was growing by certain individuals who were retiring from the Northeast. So they came here on a fixed income and they would retire. Another group would be folks who left Cuba and basically paddleboarded over here. That was a time when the people who came here had a very fixed income and arguably were not in a position to invest and or to build new community or a new business. What has really changed over the past 25 years is that continuously we've been lucky to have growth of both per capita income, and most important, education. The population of Florida has really grown in its education and in its experience, which has led to an ongoing growth here, which we are very lucky to be part of.
Yeah, I heard a statistic that we're probably the third most populous place as far as people with college degrees moving here. It's really, really changing a lot. Now, tell me a little bit about what you've seen as far as the different types of buildings that have been going on. You know, you've been here in Miami, you've done real estate in the Middle East, across Europe and Latin America. What are some of the things that you see from overseas that you're able to bring over here that make some of your designs unique?
A lot of it has been really the resiliency and sustainability. We have been very lucky to be here in Florida on the forefront of some of the cutting edges thoughts and visions of resiliency, sustainability. My original degree from the Institute of Technology before architecture was environmental design, whereby we are looking at today the solar panel, for example. I'm 56 years old. When the solar panel was first looked at, it was basically a copper pipe with two sheets of glass heating up the water. Today, the solar panel is a completely different means of technology. We are collecting the energy of the sun into low voltage wires, which we can then charge up and hold a battery and run a car. Well, if I can run a car, I can run a generator. If I can run a generator, I can run your household. So we put in basically a package of solar panels that has a charge that can then run your house. Most homes, as you know, run on electricity that uses up most of the electricity into one thing, which is the mechanical air conditioning unit. We've been very lucky to bring the efficiency up in the air conditioning units, but more so we've been very lucky to have a battery pack that can then sustain and support the air conditioning unit and essentially take most houses, if not all houses, to lower their electrical bill substantially.
So then you can incorporate these solar panels in sort of a seamless methodology into your design now that they're much thinner and more flexible?
Yes, sir. Basically, what we do is we put battery packs, if you will, of a Tesla or a Siemens. We wall mount it in your garage. You can plug your car into. But most important, we can charge it up on a daily basis. Luckily, we live in a sunshine state, and we're able to recoup that energy and have one battery to run the house and a backup battery to have in case of an emergency to run your backup generator.
It's a good thing my wife's listening because I know a house is going to need your redesign real soon now, listening to that.
Listen, today to put in this kind of a system is no different than upgrading the electrical panels when they used to be screwing the old electrical
Yeah, with the little fuses and everything.
That's it.
Get rid of the fuses, put in breakers. This is just as easy.
This is where we're going. This is our near future.
Now, we've talked a little bit about power and electricity. What about climate change, sea level rise, the flooding, the tiding, the stuff like that? You know, you see what's been going on in some of the other floods that these hurricanes have had.
Very, very, very important topic. The climate has been changing for as long as we as humans have been on this earth. Certain areas were covered by ice. The ice has recessed. And obviously, the sea levels have been rising and will continue to rise due to our munching on fossil fuels for the past 100 years.
Yeah.
Mind you also that what we have been eating up from the days of coal and diesel, and now we're going into solar and wind because it's becoming much more efficient. Overall, the carbon footprints of the greatest countries will continue to decrease in the next 100 years. So the damage that we have been occurring in the past 100 years will probably change in the next 100 years. Now, we have been on this earth for a few years, and so time is evolution. I'm optimistic about the opportunity that this is creating. At the same time, you have to be realistic and you have to be cognizant that the sea levels have risen to a point where we do need to look into certain means and methods to be sustainable and resilient here in South Florida.
So then in your designs, as you're doing new homes and new office buildings and new apartment buildings, how are you compensating for the fact that we might be in a transitional phase with the sea level and flooding? I mean, are you building things higher, building with a vacant second floor, a flex second floor, something like that?
So the United States Army Corps of Engineers, for example, in Miami Beach, when they built Miami Beach and the little pill-shaped islands, the sea level, they knew that the sea level has a certain height of a base flood elevation, which is about 8 or 9, mm-hmm. and the streets are about at 5. Mm-hmm. Some streets which were not at 5, which were at 3 or 4, do get flooded, not necessarily due to rain, but obviously they get flooded due to tides, king tides, and so forth. But most important, really most important, is over the past few years, we have raised all of our homes to have a base flood elevation higher than the 8 or 9. I live in an old house, a 1929 house, and my flood criteria at that house is 8. But that house was built essentially 100 years ago. Mm. Today, we have been lucky in Miami and in other locations to raise the base flood elevation, not only to meet the base flood elevation, but also to meet the wave crest. A wave crest means that when the sea level comes across from the ocean to the bay, we have been able to raise the residential component of our buildings, the high rises, the hotels, to be above the wave crest. And that is not at 8 or 9 NGVD, it's really at 14 or 15.
I guess 15.
Yes, which is helpful. But at the same time, that means that all of your electrical backup generators and power must be above the wave crest. Because when that wave does come, and it will come sooner and or later, it will knock out that panelization. Now, most important, you can remember in the last hurricane that we had a year ago, you saw how Brickell flooded. Mm-hmm. But when you look closely at the videos and you see all the water in the street, you'll notice very carefully that the steps, there were always a few steps left up to the lobbies of the local offices. That has always been a flood area, and that's why DERM and FEMA has always required the base flood elevation to be higher in that location, which is the damage was quite minimal.
Yeah, so it just looked good on TV, but it wasn't all that bad.
I think it looked phenomenal, and I wish I would have taken my kayak out and paddleboard over there, and, you know, it would have been nice.
It would have been, it's really cool. Now, Kobe.
Jimmy, take it easy.
Now, Kobe, let's talk about the evolution of cars. You only got like a minute in this segment, but you know, I've been talking to a lot of the guys that I know that develop apartments and condos, and they've been saying that they've got too much parking and not a porte-cochere these days. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Way too much. What has really happened, it's evolutionary, is that I have a 16-year-old boy and I have a 22-year-old son. They're both men by now. They both drive. They do not wish to drive. They find driving tiresome and boring, and they would like public transportation. They would like to have an Uber. They would like somebody else to share a ride with them. They're not interested in driving their own car and impressing people. The majority of the population no longer uses the car as we have grown up to be. Therefore, there will be a lot less cars. We are looking at converting existing garages into mixed-use offices, sports facilities, residential, and hotel functions. There are big problems that in those conversions that we're looking at and seeing how we can make it efficient and create a value on those big footprints that people can habitate.
Well, that's a great value add. You know, why don't we go for a break? Can you stay another segment or two first?
Why not, Jimmy? Anything for you, baby.
I love you, Kobe.
Love
all right.
You more.
So, Wanda, we're going to toss it to you. We're going to come back with more stuff. We're going to talk with Kobe, more resiliency, some of his international deals. We'll talk to him about some of his really interesting projects, get some of his good stories. So stick with us. We're going to have a great show here with Kobe Karp, the man, the myth, and the architect.
One, two, three.